Welcome to Metcast, the official podcast from Manchester Metropolitan University. Today marks the final day of COP27, the United Nations Climate Change Conference. The focus of the day is solutions to the broad array of environmental challenges we are facing. Plastic pollution is one of those challenges. The production of disposable plastic products is harming the environment in countless ways. Producing, using, and disposing of these materials creates significant greenhouse gas emissions. Plastics take an incredibly long time to break down, which is why they are now polluting our rivers, oceans, and threatening our wildlife and ecosystems. However, finding more sustainable alternatives to conventional plastic made from petroleum could be one way to mitigate some of these impacts. In this episode, we spoke to Research Associate Dr. Carly Fletcher about the potential for bio-based plastics in helping reduce the impact of plastic pollution. Dr. Fletcher is currently involved in a project which is exploring the role of bioplastics and how new products can be developed and implemented in a safe and sustainable way. She told us how and why this project came about.
Plastic pollution is a major issue in society. Plastics are just kind of everywhere. So there was a huge drive to find substitutes and ways forward to make kind of products more sustainable. Bioplastics was one of those things. And I think there was a huge drive in kind of innovation and also from a policy side, from the kind of the European Commission, kind of to drive these new sustainable plastics forward. But there weren't necessarily any appreciation of their implications and further impacts. And one of those things was safety. So there was a question over whether we need to consider further safety aspects for these new materials or whether they still come under kind of existing safety regulations and standards. And another key thing was the whole aspect about biodegradability. So if we've got biodegradable plastic, we then have a whole new kind of set of implications that we wouldn't have with normal plastics because they may kind of break down quicker in the environment and kind of release their substances. So it's making sure that we are thinking it through from beginning to the end.
So this project's now coming to its final year, is that right? And the new standards will also be released next year. Can you tell us more about the project and some of the outcomes so far?
Yeah, so we had quite a few outcomes across the project as a whole. So we had some partners which developed new materials, so new bioplastics. So we've got two or three companies that's on our consortium. They developed these materials. They then went to other partners to be tested. So they were either tested kind of their technical abilities to make sure they could withstand any properties that we want the plastic to withhold within a certain product group. So for example, if it was to be used for, I don't know, for food packaging, we had to make sure that it would not transfer any components over to the food, that kind of thing. So they did some initial testing on the original samples. They then fed back to the team who then modified the compounds, modified the plastics. And then they've gone back with new modified compounds to our other partners to do a second round of testing. So like I say, they're testing kind of technical properties, they're testing biodegradability, they're testing kind of hazardousness and food safety properties. There's a whole kind of range of different things they've been testing for. And then on the kind of the other side of the consortium, kind of my side of the consortium, we've been looking at the safety issues. So what are the things that we need to be concerned with? Is it a bio-based or is it a bioplastic concern in its own, or is it a wider plastics concern? We've had other colleagues that have been doing kind of life cycle analysis just to make sure that these products that we are hopefully bringing to market or kind of hypothetically bringing to market, are they actually more sustainable than the thing that we're trying to replace? And we've also got other colleagues doing kind of the business model process, so kind of making the business model of taking these plastics, making them into a product and selling them and making sure that all works in the kind of in a circular economy to make them most as circular as possible. And then finally, we've got another partner that's been looking at the waste management side. So they're looking at kind of what was the current waste management infrastructure across Europe? Could that existing infrastructure and systems and processes react to an increased portion of bioplastics? if they can't, what needs to be done in the future, kind of what systems do we need to bring online, what infrastructure needs updating or replacing, and that kind of thing. So, and they've produced a handbook, this big handbook that's looked at all waste management systems across Europe and kind of dug into them kind of to see how well prepared they could be for an influx of bioplastics on the market.
You've mentioned that we're looking at safety when it comes to bioplastics, and specifically our role in the project is to develop the new safety protocol for bioplastics. What have you found in this area? Are there any safety concerns?
The requirements and the processes to make sure products, any products or our product groups are safe on the market are there. And it's the matter of kind of the communication aspect of making sure the messages get trickled down to the kind of the coal face, to the producers properly, to make sure they don't get kind of misunderstood or reinvented almost. And I think one of the key things we've come out with is that we shouldn't put unnecessary burdens on bioplastics producers that we wouldn't put on normal plastics producers. So it has to be a more holistic way of thinking about things. So if we want to improve safety of products, we have to think of it as all products. We don't just pick out, well, we want to improve the safety of bio-based or biodegradable products and kind of put more burden on those particular materials compared to other materials, and then that would then increase kind of cost and that kind of thing. So it's kind of been a bit more holistic.
So from your work on this project and your research in this area in general, would you say that bio-based plastics could provide a solution to plastic pollution and a good alternative to plastics?
One of the kind of the things that we like to say is that bioplastics aren't a silver bullet, so they won't solve every problem, but they definitely have their place. I think it's that kind of holistic thinking of thinking about it from the beginning to the end. What are we actually trying to achieve? Where are they most appropriate for being a substitute? Or should we try and avoid substituting something just for substituting sake? And, you know, does it have a knock-on implication that we then need to consider further along? So I think they definitely have the place. It's just trying to find in that place and making sure kind of holistically as the whole plastic sector, we kind of move towards more sustainability thinking. Because, you know, in some walks of life, in some circumstances, the plastics that we have, the plastics that we use are absolutely necessary and they do a job and they do it really, really well. So it's kind of trying to figure out where we need the plastics, which ones can be replaced by bio-based or biodegradable plastics, and where we can limit plastics in other situations where it's actually not needed, rather than doing a blanket quote of, you know, it should be zero plastic, we should get rid of plastic altogether. I think that was quite an interesting thing that came out of that workshop.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Metcast, the official podcast from Manchester Metropolitan University. Your feedback is always welcome, as are much needed reviews and ratings on iTunes. So if you have a moment, please head there and let us know what you think. You can also subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. Until next time, goodbye.